Welcome to the Fix Podcast here on thesportsvirus.com featuring pitching mechanics expert Angel Borelli. I'm your host, Joe Castellano, also the host of the San Francisco Giants Inside China Basin podcast and the San Francisco 49ers Extra podcast. The Fix is your bi-weekly show focusing on pitching mechanics, injury prevention, and peak performance on the mound. Angel Borelli has a master's degree in sports science and has been a strength and conditioning coach for 35 years. For the past 20 years, she's worked specifically on investigating pitching deliveries. Pitchers from Little League on up to the big leagues seek out Angel for solutions that will help take them to the next level. She also works with pitchers who are recovering from injuries by giving them customized training programs that will get them back on the mound, and she finds and corrects the flaws that led to the injury in the first place. Education, solutions, and troubleshooting here on the Fix Podcast, also available on the iTunes Podcast app. And today is our second podcast together, Joe and Angel, as we talk about pitching mechanics. And we'll go around the major leagues first, Angel, as we do every couple of weeks here on thesportsvirus.com. And we'll start with some bigger name pitchers that are going to be counted on by their teams coming off the disabled list. Doug Fister, he's been on the 15-day DL with the Washington Nationals, a forearm injury. He's expected to be back in the rotation Thursday against the Rays. That's good news for Washington. Meanwhile, Matt Cain and the Giants, well, he's on a little bit of a longer rehab assignment. He was pitching in AA. Now he's in AAA. He has a forearm injury that he's coming back from, and of course, surgery last year. And he struck out seven batters over 3 1/3 innings in his second rehab with AAA Sacramento. 74 pitches in that one, Angel. That sounds like a lot of pitches in 3 1/3 innings.
Yeah, it definitely is a lot of pitches. I'm glad he's working his pitch count up, but I would be looking at how that happened because somebody of his status. But again, I don't know the history of what's been happening, and I don't know if he's hitting his max velocity. But one of the things that we want to be sure pitchers aren't doing is being tentative. If we have to, actually, I should reword that. We need to be sensitive to when we see good pitchers being tentative or being hesitant to throw certain pitches or to throw as hard as they should be at that time. And it's the tentativeness that gives us an indication that something's going on inside the pitcher's body that he may not even consciously be aware of or not be articulating. So I would definitely be looking at the number of pitches he threw in the three innings and talk to him to see what's going on. Maybe he wasn't warmed up and the first inning was, kind of a warm-up for him. I don't really know the details, but I do know that's not a pitch count we want to see for three innings. And you want to be sure it's not an indicator of something. It could be just a fluke. But always, always, the only signals we have are those sorts of things that we can observe. And so that would be something I would definitely want to be looking at more carefully.
I guess the good news is that he did have seven strikeouts in 3 1/3 innings. That explains some of those pitches. But, you know, at the same time, wouldn't it be better in some respects to just get some first pitch ground balls, kind of get yourself through some innings? And when you're sort of laboring a little bit to get through strikeouts, a lot of full counts, it seems like that would be more stressful.
Yeah, I think what happens is pitchers don't, I think that there's part of strategy of pitching, and of course, pitching coaches are experts at that. That's not my expertise, but I do know that a lot of times you kind of, there's only so much you can plan with what's going to happen, and I do think that that it's not always intent that where you say, oh, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. So like I said, I just think that it's a thing to have a conversation with the pitcher about. It's something important for them to review what they were noticing about him. And, you know, did it happen consistently? In other words, going to a full count in one inning on a bunch of hitters right in a row, that's something that's very different than going to a full count with one hitter and then the next hitter you strike out. So looking at the patterns of strikeouts and the patterns are really the important indicator. Or if, for example, he loads the bases or he strikes someone out or he goes to full count, walks a guy, then seeing how does he handle a comeback. Those are the kinds of things we want to see. It's more important almost to interpret it from patterns as it is just for exactly what it looks like. And what it, with a high pitch count, it doesn't look good. But there could be details that would make that, oh, well, that's not so bad when you look at it that way. And he is still getting ready to return. So he still is in what we would call rehab assignment. So this is the time you do want to have problems emerge so you don't get caught unaware that, wow, I wasn't really ready.
Well, it looks pretty good for him. A couple more starts in Sacramento and then hopefully join the Giants. They're hoping to get Jake Peavy back soon as well. He's pitching for AAA Sacramento. That's quite a rotation they have there. He's on the disabled list. He's had a back problem. And one of the biggest names really in baseball that's been on the DL, one of the guys who really could be one of the best pitchers in baseball, is Jose Fernandez with the Marlins. Now, he is scheduled to return from the DL on July the 2nd against the Giants. And he's coming back from Tommy John surgery. Angel, tell us what you think about the way the Marlins handled everything with Fernandez coming off that surgery.
Well, I love the story I read on him right now. I haven't been following it all the way from the beginning, but what they're saying right now can lead into such a tremendous teaching moment. And it's something that I've talked about all season long, especially at the beginning of the season. So what's going on is he's, first of all, everyone, I want you to notice, he had surgery in May and he's starting in July. That's what's going on these days with great rehab. 12, 14 months, you're back in the game. And that is the way it should be. And that gives you enough time to have ups and downs and to get ready. The second thing that's important to notice is that right now he's throwing 80 pitches on his next start. He's throwing 95 to 100 on his next start. And what that's saying is that the Marlins are aware that they have to address the demands of his job, the demands of his skill, before he returns to a game. And by the way, just as an aside, he threw 99 miles an hour in his last start. And I think that when you see a pitcher coming off of elbow surgery that isn't afraid to use his elbow, you cannot get to 99 unless you have not only shoulder acceleration, but elbow acceleration. And 99 means he was using everything correctly. And so he wasn't tentative at all. He wasn't hesitant. He's really letting it go. And as I was saying previously, that's a really good sign that he's doing well. So what I love about what the Marlins are doing is they're saying, okay, let's consider the job he's going to have to do, and let's design what he needs to do to be prepared for it with that in mind. And what I want to mention to everyone is that I think this is great the Marlins are doing it, and what Major League needs to do is they need to have that same conversation and same plan with their pitchers before the season starts. So let's go back to the date of his surgery. He injured himself in May. That is not even 8 weeks. He's May 9th. He's not even, I mean, he's X number of short weeks into the season. Mm-hmm. He was possibly not prepared for the season. We have the most injuries occurring in April and May. Every year, the Tommy John surgeries are up. And I've been saying this year after year. You can't have a major league pitcher not throwing in the off season. Come to spring training, they arrive around February 14th. How do you get their pitch counts up to 90 and 100 when they're playing spring training games? You're rotating pitchers in and out. In other words, the way that I do my guys is we get the pitch count up before they show up for spring training. Then we bring it down, and then we bring it back up again. But what this take-home message is that the teams are aware of the importance. So the way you deal with returning an injured pitcher, think about it. It should be the same caution should be applied to the healthy pitchers. And if we can get through the first 3 months of the season, if teams would today say, you know what, especially if this works with him, you know what? We should start getting our pitchers ready the way we got him ready. We should have their pitch counts high enough because when they go into a start, they don't know if they're going to throw 80, 90, 100 pitches. And pulling them and not developing them fully isn't good either. So the goal should be he's got a job. He may have to throw 90, 100 pitches. Let's condition him to that when he is not under any pressure to perform on television. And so what they're doing here is a prototype, and it does show some conscientiousness on their part. However, I'd like to see major league teams connect the dots better. So, wow, this worked great. Let's have our pitchers be better prepared for the beginning of the next season. If we can get through March, April, and May, without the Tommy Johns that we've had this year and last year, things would start looking better for our boys. And what I want to tell everyone listening who isn't involved in pro sports and who has that kind of time and flexibility, take away the message from this. If your son's a starter, if he's a closer, have some sense of when he has to perform and get a calendar out and plan his pitch count escalation so that you're not counting on anyone else to do that for you. And then he can always go down the hill, start decreasing his pitch count, and then work his way back up when his season starts. But don't not have him prepared for the demands of the skill. So that's what I love about this story. And what I'm going to really love is to see how well he does actually do and if this preparation is going to make a difference for him. So my hat's off to the Marlins, and I hope that they extrapolate from this the information that's so important.
When you're talking about Tommy John surgery, I think there's the fear, you know, that always exists, even though there's been a lot of success numbers as far as how many pitchers have come back from it. There's that fear that I'm never going to be the same again, that there's going to be setbacks, it's going to take me longer. But there's also that thought that maybe you could throw harder than you did before. How does that happen for some guys, maybe not all guys, or I don't even know what the numbers are statistically coming off Tommy John surgery, but what can Jose Fernandez expect?
No, the statistics are great, but here's the reason why all this even came into the news a few years ago, where everyone was saying, wow, I want to have Tommy John because I'm throwing so much better.
Right.
It's because pitchers up until now, and now, see, right now, like, you know, with the work that I do and people across the country and in the last few years where science and strength and conditioning has become so important, and now you're seeing pitchers that are in the gym training. It didn't used to be that way. So you have pitchers that all they did was pitch. They never strengthened their elbow. They never strengthened their shoulders. They didn't even really warm up. They would get to the field, pick up a ball, and start doing whatever it is they did. And it's probably the same thing they did when they were 6 years old. So we're talking archaic methods for getting ready. And now you have surgery, and now what are you doing? You're going through systematic shoulder training, systematic elbow training, systematic forearm training, systematic finger training. They're being exposed to something that's what they should be doing all the time. And then they say, wow, this is the best I've ever felt. And some of them come back throwing harder as long as all the conditions are met that we just discussed, which is they're prepared. They're not being asked to do something too soon. And so that's where the rumor came that Tommy Johns are, you know, really good for you. The other thing is there is a percentage of Tommy John patients where it really depends on the mechanics and how much you make a change. Now, for example, Jose, his arm is a little bit late in his motion. Hopefully he's changed that, because if he didn't, he could start having problems again. Now, he's not having problems, and he's throwing hard. So I'm thinking he's made that adjustment. Someone looked and said, why did this happen? But let's take a guy who doesn't go that far. So he starts to pitch with a rehabbing arm, and he doesn't feel right. And the thing that caused the problem to begin with is still there, so that when he does it, he feels that part of his elbow. He's the guy that's like, I don't know. And he either hangs it up or he hesitates. And so now you've got a 90-mile-an-hour guy throwing 85 or 84. And it's because his elbow doesn't feel right. And it's not because they didn't do the surgery right. It's probably because he's still doing what created the problem to begin with. And the elbow's saying, don't do this to me anymore. So that's where I think the variance is. And yes, you're always wondering which team am I on, the guy that's making the changes and going to move ahead, or am I still a victim of the original cause of the problem.
Well, the future is so bright for this kid. He's only 22 years old. He won the Rookie of the Year in 2013. He was an All-Star that year, third in the Cy Young Award voting. And just looking at what he's done so far in 36 starts, 16-8, 2.25 ERA, and averaging 10.3 strikeouts per nine innings. So the Marlins, they have got to be so excited about getting him back.
Oh, yeah, they're doing something right. And this little short story, and with what you're telling me, this is a great, great thing. So this is kind of like when you cooked a perfect meal, you want to write down the recipe. Write down this recipe, Marlins, and if all the other teams can start to share this. And let's not just save these perfect plans for our unhealthy pitchers. Let's start treating our healthy pitchers, which is with as much care and caution as they're doing to this golden arm. And that's the take-home message from this story.
Let's get to our regular velocity segment. You can't help when you go to a baseball game but look up at the jugs gun, as I call it, the speed gun that's up there at every ballpark now, even in the minor leagues. Everybody, as soon as the pitch is thrown, what was the speed? You know, you also look there because you want to know, was it a fastball or was it a changeup? You get so much by looking at the jugs gun, the message board, and get that speed. So tell us a little bit about your tip for today as far as velocity, Angel.
Well, one of the things I want to talk about, and as everyone knows, from the beginning of the season, I started with, some of the conditions and some of the things that need to be present in the way the body moves. And just to get a sense of what has to occur in the pitching motion so that you even have a chance of finding the velocity that's in you. What you want to be sure you never do is block the velocity in you. So with all that being said about the perfect balance and then the perfect stride and where the foot goes and all the turning, with all that being said, one of the most important things to produce velocity is that your shoulder be working optimally at the time when it needs to be, which is as the pitcher turns to square up to the hitter, and he is now going to accelerate the ball forward, that shoulder is the fastest rotating joint on the body, and it is responsible for the velocity that is moving the ball forward. So that shoulder needs to be available for that job. And I don't care what we say about mechanics prior to that or whatever. You want to be sure you're not getting that shoulder into position to accelerate the ball. And it's been through a lot before you arrive there. That is why we have so many guidelines and so many rules. And in science, we're able to say, this is where we want the shoulder at this point, and this is what we want it to do as he's turning. And what that's about is making that shoulder really available for the forward acceleration. One of the most prominent things I've been seeing lately, and especially in youth pitchers, and it's so important I want to talk about it, and I think it comes from young kids watching television. For example, we were talking, there's pitchers that have this really crazy windup at the beginning of their motion. They turn almost towards the outfield.
And Louis Tiant style. Yeah.
Yes. And in pitching science, we don't teach that. In fact, this is like learning English. You need to learn the ABCs. You need to learn how to spell. You need to learn how to punctuate. This is what we need to teach young kids. And before a kid starts having loose language or becomes a rapper, let's make sure he has good English to start with. Then he's got license to put some bells and whistles on it. Pitching's the same way. We have no business teaching kids to do all these crazy things that get them shooting themselves down the hill with no control and no awareness. And then by the time their shoulder is ready to throw the ball, and it's most vulnerable that they're exhausted because of some strange thing they're doing. And so I think what happens is at the beginning of the motion, we see a lot of problems with kids. In the beginning of the motion, the most important thing is the posture. And I know whenever you bring up the word posture, everybody thinks about their parents yelling at them across the dinner table, sit up straight, sit up straight.
Right.
Well, guess what? They were right. Just ask all the adults who have back problems right now. And so what happens is when kids or people try to emulate pitchers, they literally, the part of the motion that's the easiest to see and to copy is that knee lift and the beginning. And I think that's why we see a lot of kids doing things at the beginning where we know there's no way he made this up. He saw someone doing it. And unfortunately, when you see a good pitcher, you're going to see good things that he does, and you're going to see some bad things that he does. So at the beginning of the motion during the knee lift part, if the pitcher is slumping over, and this is what you see with kids, as the knee comes up, the shoulders slump over, and for some reason, and then they twist and turn. But when the shoulders slump over, and this is for anybody who's slumping right now as they're listening, your shoulder blade, when you slump over, and that would be you like doing an abdominal exercise when you're standing or seated. Your abs are literally pulling the front of your body forward. Your head may be forward. And what actually is happening is the shoulder blades that are supposed to be in your back are now sliding up forward over towards the front of your body. Well, the corner of the shoulder blade makes up the shoulder joint where the arm sits. And when that shoulder blade isn't in the right position, the shoulder joint is not able to move freely, meaning the ball that's at the head of the arm, it can't spin easily. It can't even raise up easily. It can't even come out of the glove and come up to your early cocking position easily. So what I've seen so much of recently is this really faulty beginning with the back position at the beginning of the motion, which then causes a problem. And pitchers do end up coming out of it most of the time, but they've been through a lot to get to where they have to be when they accelerate the ball. We don't want the shoulders going from slumping to this, to that, and then, oh, wow, now it's time to throw, and they've been through all that. We want good posture at the beginning, maintain the upper back position, allow the shoulder to move correctly, allow the arm to move correctly from the begin, from moment one all the way through acceleration. And then what you have is the potential, and this show is about discovering your potential. Then you have full potential for that shoulder to learn and to keep recreating acceleration. If you fatigue the shoulder from mispositioning at the beginning of the motion, when it's the easiest for you to work on posture and alignment changes, then when you get to that place, your shoulder's fresh, and then you can have at it. And if you do that over the years, from the time you're 8 through 16 through the 20s, your shoulder will develop the kind of way that it needs to be strong and healthy. Also, you'll see your velocity going up. If you bring a fatigued shoulder to that part of the motion, or you bring a shoulder that's been tweaked because of various things you do wrong by slumping over at the beginning, then you're not going to have 100% possibility for yourself to develop at that phase of the motion. And the acceleration phase, when it's all said and done, is the important part of pitching motion.
And if you have a great catcher, you can notice that, right? I mean, I know a catcher has a lot on his plate, but he can maybe notice the beginning of that delivery and notice if it's different than what you should be doing, right? I mean, if he's a great catcher.
Yeah, well, catchers are so busy waiting for that ball to come. You know, they're amazing. And I of course, have great catchers that work for me, and I learn so much by watching them. They're an amazing athlete, and they're so important. I don't know if they're noticing that. They do notice a lot of things, but they notice it more like in a bullpen than probably in a game because there's so much going on. But I think that pitching coaches should stand behind the rubber during the bullpen. And if you see, or stand behind the rubber or stand in the rear side view of the pitcher where you're actually seeing. I mean, I know all of us, I mean, everyone today, when you're done listening to the podcast, walk around and look at people from the back, like when you're walking down the street, and you can see the people that are slumping. In fact, people who have humpbacks, they have been doing that for their whole life. And their body forms to that. You can tell from the back if somebody's slumping. And if somebody is slumping, if they're in a slump position and they try to lift their arm up, it doesn't work the same way. If you see your pitcher looking like that, go up to him and just have him lift his rib cage from the front and let those shoulder blades drop back down. And then the arms move so much more freely. Now, does this take some strength to do it? Yes. And pitchers should be working in the gym, and they should be preparing their upper body for this. And in the medical world, it's called shoulder girdle stabilization. And most of you who have ever had any problems with your shoulder, that's how the PT would be addressing it, doing rows and things for the upper back. But even if you don't have the strength, posture is an interesting thing. If you put the head up on top of the body and you lift your rib cage up, your body falls into perfect alignment. And it's in perfect alignment that everything moves the best. And so when people are looking for their velocity and they're not looking at something as obvious as that, if they're not doing it correctly, don't waste your time worrying about other things. Fix that first, because until you fix the details, you don't really know where you're at. And that's what this show is about. Don't run around chasing outside of yourself for ways to throw harder. Make sure you're getting the job done with the things that are important. Then you can build on that.
During this podcast, I straightened up my posture. I was a little worried about it. A good thing, you know, this is a podcast, because people would have seen me moving around if it was a webcast. And I'm good to go, though. I'm good to go now, Angel.
I am excited. Let me know how fast your fastball was today when you get out on that pen now.
Exactly. Great job, Angel. We'll talk again in a couple of weeks.
Okay, great, Joe. Thank you so much.
That's pitching mechanics expert Angel Borelli. We'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks. If you have any questions or comments, send an email to angel@gymscience.com. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to the Fix Podcast on thesportsvirus.com.